Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, John Dunford. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1212, we present three new stories, plus a little something extra from new Life Rattle writer Evangeline Torres Sled. Tonight's writer, Evangeline Torres Sled, was born in the Philippines in 1985. She was 5 years old when her dad moved the family to Canada to chase the Canadian dream. They settled in Etobicoke, Ontario, near Sled's grandparents and her uncle June. The family soon realized the dream was not so easily obtained. Her parents struggled to find employment, and even though her father possessed an engineering degree and her mother worked as a midwife in the Philippines, the family of four was forced to share a one-bedroom apartment. Sled learned to speak English and fell in love with writing. In grade one, she was given her first journal. In university, she majored in professional writing and communications. Evangeline Torres Sled currently pursues a career in writing. In her spare time, she enjoys the art of cooking, experimenting with spices, new greens, and meats, just the way her mother taught her. The stories you will hear tonight and next Sunday come from the book, Three Tiny Prayers and a Princess, Sled's recently published collection. In her writing, Sled is unafraid to show herself, warts and all, and her stories are by turn funny, sad, courageous, heartbreaking, moving, inspiring, and especially honest. Her stories span from her toddler to her teenage years and focus on her loving but complicated relationship with her father that sharpens in a poignant way when he is diagnosed with terminal cancer. Tonight's first story introduces our young narrator, her parents, and her sister as the siblings speculate about where babies come from. Let's listen now as Evangeline Torres Sled reads the first of her three tiny prayers, followed immediately by her first story, Cowplops, tonight on Life Rattle.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed is our Father. Dear Lord, please tell Oprah to buy us a house. I want my own room. I want to invite my friends over. I want to have sleepovers. I want a real bed. I hate where I live. Please take care of my mommy, daddy, and sister. Thank you. I love you. Oh yeah, I'm sorry for fighting with my sister again. Amen. Cowplops by Evangeline Torres Sled. Nanay, did I really come out of a cow's butt? I asked my mom. Yeah, you did, Vanji, answers Ate. I'm younger than my sister, so I have to call her Ate, and not her nickname Akon, or her real name Maricon. Nanay squeaks, Akon, stop that. I close our family album. But am I adopted then? Why would you say that? 'Cause Nanay, how come you don't have any baby pictures of me? 'Cause you were picked out of cow shit. Ati giggles and pinches her nose. Why do you think you're so dark and wear so light? Akon, Vanji, look at your father. You're as dark as Tatay and have his fat lips. No way you're adopted. Besides, I told you already. We lost your baby photos at the airport. They didn't lose mine, Ate points out. I wonder if I'm adopted. I don't look like my sister. Her face is white and fat like Nanay's. I look like my Tatay. Maybe I came out of him. Ate and I sit on the floor against the side of our second-hand suede couch, and Nanay and Tatay sit on the plush cushioned seats. Whitney Houston is about to kiss her bodyguard. Vanji, ahon, turn around. Nanay and tatay always make us turn around when people kiss on TV. It usually sounds like two sandwiches mashing together. Nanay? Ano? Nanay, maybe I came out of tatay's belly instead. Maybe that's why I don't look like you and ate. Tatay chokes on his saliva and coughs. Ate slaps me on the hand and laughs. Nanay stares at me and squeaks. She's your daughter, Val. Tell her. Did she come from you? Of course. That's why she's good-looking like me. Tatay curls three fingers, sticks his pointy finger in the air, and places it under his chin. We're cute. Tatay flashes me his toothless grin and rises from the couch. He pads his bare feet across the parquet floor, down the hall to the bathroom. I jump up and run across the hall and stop in front of the closed bathroom door. Tatay? Yes. How much longer are you going to be in there? I'm pooping. I don't know. Plop. Vanji, what are you doing? Nanay screams. Waiting for Tatay. Tatay? Yes, Vanji. Plop. Plop. Are you done yet? No. Tatay, I miss you. Come out now. Vanji, I'm pooping. Plop. 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 I know, but you're taking too long. I miss you. I hear the toilet flush. I hear the water run. The lock clicks open. I look up and smile at Tatay. He dries both hands on a terry cloth towel. Tatay laughs, ruffles my hair, and picks me up into his arms. When I turn 8, I find out I came out of Nanay's belly, not Tatay's.
That was Evangeline Torres-Sled reading her story, Cowplops. Sled's second story tonight shows the struggles facing many new immigrants to Canada. Let's listen now as Evangeline Torres-Sled reads her story, Super Crush, immediately followed by her second tiny prayer.
Super Crush by Evangeline Torres-Sled. Grade 1, check. Grade 2, check. Grade 3, check. Grade 4, check. Grade 5, check. Grade 6. Evangeline lives in Packy Palace, Packy Palace, Packy Palace, hollers Sean, my blonde-haired, blue-eyed, super cute, super hot, super crush. I'm in 6th grade at St. Teresa. 90% of the students are Canadian-born. Their parents are from Poland and Russia and other colder regions in Europe. Middle Eastern students are rare at my school. Instead, they attend Second Street Public School. We, Jesus-worshipping students, fear the Second Streeters with their no religion. I feel my cheeks burn from Sean's taunts. I tap my pencil against my desk and threaten my tears with death. I force a laugh when what I really want to do is jump out of my chair, run to the girls' bathroom, find an empty stall, crawl onto the yellow ceramic toilet, and cry. Is it possible to slash my wrists with a pencil? Because to show tears in grade 6 is to commit public suicide. Tears will throw me back in with Thomas the Nose Picker and Tara the Nobody. So I smile and smile, laugh and laugh, Sean will tire of me and pick on the next kid with a food-addicted mom, northern reflection sweater, or dead father. Sean is not always mean. He always picks me first over all the other girls in soccer baseball. And one time, during our Halloween dance, he even asked to slow dance with me. I'll never forget it. Sean and me dancing as Nick from the Backstreet Boys sings, "I'll Never Break Your Heart." His hands actually grazed my hips, almost to my butt. Sean likes me. He's mean because he likes me. "I heard cockroaches live in Paki Palace," Sean says. "Yeah, really large ones," pipes in Robert, one of Sean's minions. "Gross. You live with stinky Pakis and roaches." Everyone in class laughs. Miss Inqua walks back into the room. Sean sits down and drops his voice so that it's inaudible for Miss Inqua to hear from the front of the class, but loud enough for me to hear perfectly. "Paki Palace, Paki Palace, Paki Palace." I smile harder. I punch my stomach to choke out a laugh, roll up my second-hand Tommy Hilfiger sleeves, and stalk the hands of the clock. I want to scream and shout that I had a big house with my own room back in the Philippines. Dad was an engineer. Mom didn't have to work. We had cars, nice clothes, and I went to a private school. But I keep my mouth closed. I miss those days. The days when I got to see my parents instead of Uncle June and his threatening ladle to finish everything on my plate. No piece of pickled barbecued fish or boiled string bean, even the last grain of white jasmine rice, is ever to go to waste. Or else Uncle June, armed with his blue plastic ladle, force feeds the fish, string bean, and rice down my throat. I miss my life in the Philippines. I miss those days when I didn't have to share a room with my parents. These days, Dad juggles three jobs, and none of them with the title of project engineer, but janitor and housekeeper and custodian. "Have a great weekend," Miss St. Croix dismisses us. "Don't forget about the class picnic next week." I jump out of my seat, race to the back of the classroom, and yank my knapsack off the metal hook. I run out the doors, through the hallway, and down the stairs, and slam the green-painted 7-foot metal doors behind me. St. Teresa is on 10th Street. I live on 8th Street. Every day, I run home. Vanjeet. Today, my mom picks me up. "Hi, Mom." Mom holds two white bags in her hands, filled with Granny Smith apples and tomatoes. "Here, Mom, I'll carry that." She hands me the bags and we walk towards the stoplight. "Bye, Evangeline." Michelle and Colleen call out to me. "Bye, guys." I shout back. Sean, Francis, and Peter follow behind the girls. They live on streets up from 10th, where there are nicer houses, nicer apartments, no Paki Palace in sight there. "So how is school?" Mom asks. "Good." "What'd you do?" "Work." "Anything nice happen?" "No." My mother giggles. "What's up? Why are you laughing?" I ask. "Those boys, the tall and tiny boys, they're following behind you. I think they like you. What? I turn around and see a group of younger schoolgirls. I don't see them. Trust me, Vanji, they're following you. Okay, mother, you're a perv. We reach 8th Street and turn right towards 4 rows of broken-down apartment buildings decorated with spray paint and vomit and landscaped with empty beer cans and wild dandelions. Mother stops, spins around, and sloshes her brown boots towards navy blue Corolla parked on the street. Hey, you! I can see you. Behind the rear of the car, Stash and his 6-foot body, and Chris and his 4-foot body, who attend my school, are scrunched like bananas. They leap and run down the street laughing. My mother giggles. See, Vanji, they like you. They watch you go home. Yes, mother, I'm sure that's it. Dear Lord, I don't think I believe in you anymore. Sorry. Amen.
That was Evangeline Torres-Sled reading her story, Super Crush, and her second tiny prayer. Our final story tonight recounts a simple dinner where everything changes. Let's listen now as Evangeline reads Baby Bok Choy.
Baby Bok Choy by Evangeline Torres-Sled. No, I can't come over tonight. I have an English test tomorrow. But, fine. What? You're not even going to say I love you? Gabe, my first love, first boyfriend, hangs up on me. I slip my Nokia cell phone back into the pocket of my Roots puffer jacket, pull the red bus cord, and step off the bus. The rumble in my stomach reminds me of my skipped lunch date with my high school's cafeteria. With less than $3 in my pocket, I only had enough for a bacon breakfast sandwich. My remaining 25 cents couldn't even get me Sue's extra soft, extra large, freshly baked chocolate chip cookie. I step over a pile of sausage-length dog poop, yank my kilt close against the razor-sharp wind, turn right on 8th Street, and follow the chipped concrete towards the row of graffiti-decorated apartment buildings. A lady in a stonewashed jean jacket, cropped t-shirt, and red high-waist jeans screams at her boyfriend, pimp, or client. I lower my eyes to the little patch of grass in need of a trim. After 7 large strides, I yank open the glass door. Just a few more weeks left here. Then we move to 12th Street, into a townhouse with my own room. I trudge my doll shoes up the stairs and pull open another set of doors. Curry, jerk, and tamarind spices tickle my nose. Mom must be home. No other mama on my floor cooks with tamarind. I skip down the hall and stop in front of a blue door. My home, apartment 101. Hi, Mom. Vanji. Mom stands behind the stove with a yellow ladle in her pudgy fingers. The toilet flushes. Dad enters and wipes his fingers against his khakis and makes one quick stride towards me. Our apartment is small, smaller than small. At the entrance, I can stretch my arm out and almost touch the bathroom door, and with my other arm, reach my hand right inside the kitchen. Ahead of me is our closet-sized living room. We have a black suede couch, a 32-inch Sony TV, a faux marble table, a set of 4 chairs. All thanks to Dad's gambling binges at Casino Niagara. Some binges are happy moments of an extra $20 bill in my pocket. On other nights, Mom sends my sister and me to our grandparents' house next door to eat and to escape her tears and the flying plates and the garbage bags filled with Dad's clothes. Hey, Dad. Oh, hi, Vanji. Dad smiles, ruffles my hair, drags his feet across the carpet, and slides onto a chair. Damn. I hope he didn't gamble again. Not right before we have to move. What are you making, Mom? Sinigang with baby bok choy. My stomach leaps. If there's one thing that can go right today, it's tamarind chicken soup with green baby bok choy leaves. Screw Gabe. Screw this shitty apartment. And screw Dad and his need to count on the poker god's gifts for rent and food. I'll enjoy this moment now. Just me and my baby bok choy. Mom swishes her ladle into the pot and scoops out a bowl for my dad. I open the cupboard, grab a pink floral print bowl, walk towards the stove, and grab the ladle. I stare down at the pot and catch a tangy whiff of the tamarind soup. In the middle of the pot floats 13 chunks of tender chicken breasts and only one baby bok choy leaf. I drop the ladle, drop the bowl, breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. I turn around and watch my dad spoon baby bok choy to his chapped lips. Dad's bowl contains heaps of baby bok choy leaves. I walk towards him at the kitchen table and scream, Mom, why did you give all the baby bok choy to Dad? That's so unfair. You know I like them too. Why does he get to have them all? I suck in my breath, curl my fingers into fists, and force back tears. Vanji, relax. I left some for you. Besides, eat the chicken. You like chicken too. No, I want the bok choy, not chicken. Bok choy. Vanji, Dad says. Mom, come on. Why does he get to have them all? Vanji, Dad repeats. Vanji, let your tatai have it. But, Vanji, you want it? Here. Okay, here. Dad slams his spoon into his bowl, splashes the tangy tamarind soup all over the table, and the baby bok choy leaves spill to the floor. Your nana gave me all the bok choy, 'cause she thinks it's good for me. I have a tumor, it may be cancer, and I may be dying. Dad marches past Mom, past me, and marches down the hallway to his room and slams the door. Mom rubs my shoulders, drops her arms, and follows Dad to the bedroom. I look down. Scraps of baby bok choy lay all over the beige carpet floor. I didn't get any bok choy, and my daddy is dying. I get down on both knees, pluck up the tiny little pieces of green baby bok choy and place them in my own bowl. I walk over to the metal garbage can and throw them out. I wash my bowl, dry it, and place it back into the cupboard. On TV, Oprah shakes John Travolta's hand and she laughs. Dad's whimpers escape beneath Oprah's laughter. I walk over to the empty seat where Dad sat only minutes ago. I stare down at the pink and white squiggles against the black gloss finish that make the table look like marble. One by one, tiny tears squiggle down my cheeks onto the faux marble table.
That was Evangeline Torres-Sled reading Baby Bok Choy. That concludes Life Rattle number 1212. My name is John Dunford. Lori Callas recorded Evangeline reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune in to Life Rattle next Sunday night at 9 to hear more stories written and read by Evangeline Torres-Sled.